Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. It's good to see some faces we haven't seen in a little while. Cody and Lauren and Charlotte are back there visiting, so make sure you give them a hug before you leave. The Robinsons are in town for a few weeks, but the good news is I hear they're moving back here in the fall. So yeah, our family's coming home to us, so that is awesome and exciting. So it's good. I'm just thankful we are here together worshiping Christ, and now we get to open up his word and just anticipate what he's going to speak to our hearts about this morning. So if you have your Bibles open to the book of Galatians chapter 5, can you believe we're already to chapter 5? That's crazy to me that it feels like we've just kind of started this book, but we are into chapter 5 and such a powerful passage this morning. So here's my challenge, okay? Here's my challenge for you this morning. Please don't be distracted in this message, okay? There's a reason. I mean, I know if you're tired, then go fill up your coffee right now. We'll wait for you, okay? We'll wait here. No. If you're tired, just try to get awake, okay? If you have a habit of constantly looking at your phone, in life, you can't go 10 seconds without looking down at your phone, maybe put it under your chair if you have to, unless you're using the Bible app, and that's cool. But just for the next 30 minutes or so, let's focus in. And the reason why I'm challenging you, and this should really be our challenge every week, right? But the reason why I'm challenging you is because I want you to hear clearly what God is saying, and I don't want you to take something out of context, because if you're a believer, this message has a very high chance of conviction, okay? It does. So you just got to be ready for that this morning, okay? And the reason I know that is because I did a scientific study on myself. Listen, if we listen as I was studying this, and there is a 98% chance you will be convicted. Listen to God's word. If we believe it is truth, if we have faith that it's been breathed out by him, and then we understand that his word is alive, then the good news is his truth can and will set us free from the bondage of sin, the bondage of enslavement. And as we look at this idea of legalism this morning, it can set us free from that as well. And so this idea of freedom is what Paul continues to talk to the church at Galatia about. This church that they started out well, they accepted Paul even when others didn't. They realized the ramifications of following Jesus, and they were all for that. And then when Paul leaves, here comes the Judaizers. They start teaching a false gospel, a gospel that tried to pull the Galatian believers back to the old covenant and to following the law and specifically circumcision. And that was just kind of this idea that all went around the following the law. And so Paul continues to encourage them, why do you want to go back to being slaves to those things, the things that you were enslaved to before Christ? And so he says, you can't do that. The only way to run from that is to turn and run after Christ and be free from the enslavement of sin. Be free from the things that used to enslave you, used to enslave us before we were redeemed by Christ. And so this morning, we get to take a hard look at the enslavement of legalism, okay? So, crazy word, but we're gonna discuss it, and we're going to find that we all kind of struggle with this, okay? So let's look at Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. We're going to pray, and we're going to jump into this. The title in my section, in my passage says, Christ has set us free. So verse 1 says this, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Let's pray this morning. God, we love you. We do. We believe in your truth. We believe in your word. I stand here to proclaim your truth because I believe this is truth. This is your word breathed out by you. So I trust it. So help me to proclaim it boldly. I pray that it would be your words, your truth that penetrates our hearts. Pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal things in us that maybe we are still enslaved to. And at the same time, Lord, your word encourages. We are reminded by your grace and your love. We are constantly reminded of what you've done for us on the cross as we've sung these songs to you, worshiping you. Lord, we want to give you all the glory this morning and acknowledge your work, your redeeming work on the cross. Lord, speak to us this morning. Set us free, and that only can come through you, Jesus. We love you, and it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So as we look at this passage, verses 1 through 6 this morning, my first subject, my first line, my first topic, heading is this: freedom has an enemy. Okay? Look at verse 1. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. You see, the enemy to freedom in Christ, the enemy to freedom in Christ is legalism. Okay? It's got a name. It's called legalism. And so how many of you heard the term legalism? Okay? We've heard this in church. We talk about it. It's like, don't be a legalist. We talk about this. But what does this really mean? And I think this is, again, this is where I want you to make sure you're paying attention, because you're going to hear this through your life in church. And so you need to understand, what is this? What are we talking about when we talk about this idea of legalism? Here's a simple definition, and you might want to write this down so you can go back and look at it. It's not very long. But here's a simple definition that I found. Legalism: treating that which is good as though it were essential. Treating that which is good, and this is where we get hung up, because there's a lot of good things. Treating that which is good and then lifting it up as something that's essential. You see, when we as believers turn things that are good into something essential, we run the risk of forfeiting our freedom that we find in Christ. So why do I think that this message has a high conviction percentage rate for us as believers? Here's the reason. Because if we have been in church for at least 10 days, a few months, a few years, our whole life, then most likely we have struggled with legalism. You guys agree? Okay, if you understand the definition that we just talked about, turning things that are good into things that are essential, if you understand that, if you've been in church very long, then you probably have fallen into struggling with legalism. I think we all have. As we are tempted to work our way to being good, this is what happens. We are tempted to working our way to being good. We have a tendency to treat that which is good as though it were essential. And this happens in all different cultures, church cultures, all different kinds of denominations, all have varying degrees of legalism that creeps in to the body of Christ. And so many of us, because of that, we have come from legalistic backgrounds where almost everything was ultimately important. This is if you think back to our church or a church that you grew up in, there's lots of things that were elevated at being essential, where meetings were held about the ultimate importance of the color of the carpet put in the fellowship hall. We elevate those meetings into something that is so important. Where meetings were held to decide the style of music in worship, and that was considered of the ultimate importance. Where the translation of the Bible being used in a service was of the ultimate importance. Where whether teenagers should be able to wear shorts to play sports at a summer camp where it was 103 degrees was of ultimate importance. False Greek. Where groups of people met and discussed and argued, and through hymnals and things were discussed whether drums and electric guitars were in fact created by the devil himself. I'm not kidding here. I personally witnessed a record-burning party in the church that I grew up in, where teenagers brought their rock and roll albums to be burned in a bonfire. We lifted that up as the ultimate importance. Now, here's the thing, okay? Now, listen to me. Look up from your phones. Don't be distracted. Hear me, okay? Were there albums that were brought that had music with vulgar language, that promoted drug abuse, music that we as believers probably shouldn't fill our minds with? Yes. Yes. But you see, legalism takes what is good and then turns it into what is ultimate. And that's where we fall. And so we walk this line. We teeter on it of always falling in to legalism. But legalism takes away our freedom. You see, when believers live under legalism, here's what happens. We live with anxiety. We struggle constantly with doing the right thing because we live in a culture that equates decision about the color of carpet with eternal truths in God's word. And all these things, when we lift those things up, it wreaks havoc on our souls, and we do not live in the joy and the freedom of Christ. You see, what is Paul saying? What is he saying out loud in verse 1 here in chapter 5? He's saying, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." The Judaizers are coming in saying, "You know what? Go back to doing all these good things. Circumcision, following the law, these were good things. God had set up the law, hadn't he? It was God's law. He set it up. But his whole purpose of setting up the law was to show and to reveal his people, his chosen people, their need for a Savior because they could never completely fulfill the law. And so now these Judaizers are coming in saying, come back to this. And Paul is saying, no. No, freedom is only in Christ. Stand firm in Jesus. Do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. You see, legalism, all it does is bring worry, anxiety. Todd Wilson, a pastor, theologian, he says this. He states, "We preserve our freedom in Christ when what is essential to God is essential to us. And then everything else is kept in its place." Let me repeat that. How do we have freedom in Christ as believers? We preserve our freedom in Christ when what is essential to God is essential to us. And then everything else is kept in its place. So Paul goes on, and we ask this question: what happens when we lose sight of what eternally counts? He said, we understand now what legalism is. Lifting things up that are good, putting them on the pedestal of what is ultimate or eternal or what is essential. So what happens when we lose sight of what eternally counts? Let's again read verses 2 through 4. "Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law." He's reminding them, if you're going to do this, then you're obligated to keep the whole law. And just remember, you can't do it. So why are you doing this? Verse 4, "You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace." Okay, so what is Paul saying here? We've got to be careful, okay? We read things like, "You are severed from Christ," or "You have fallen away from grace." Sometimes if we just kind of hone in on that and we take them out of context, we can have a misunderstanding of doctrine, okay? Of the doctrine of salvation and those kind of things. So we've got to be careful not to take these verses out of context. Here, let me tell you what I believe, okay? So you'll know what I believe as your pastor. I wholeheartedly believe that true believers cannot lose their salvation, okay? This is what I believe. And the reason I believe it, because I see it all the way through Scripture. I hold firmly to the promises of Jesus and in other places of God's word that were breathed out by him. John 10, 28 through 30, if you're having any doubts about your salvation, listen to this. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Amen? Live in that. That is hope. That is powerful that helps you get up and go, God has me, Christ has me. He says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And the Father, I and the Father are one. Denominations that believe that you can constantly lose your salvation, you know what those people, how those people live? They also live with anxiety. Constantly worrying, constantly worrying. Christ was sacrificed once and for all. Once and for all. So what is Paul saying here? Why does he use this terminology of falling from grace, or you've severed your you've been severed from Christ? Here's what I believe, what I see in the scripture. If we choose legalism, if the Galatian believers choose circumcision, which is I'm choosing the law to go back to the law. If the Galatians choose circumcision and then trying to live under the law, if they choose that route, they would have to keep the entire law. And if they do that, and they choose the path of legalism, then we then lose the benefit of the blood that Christ shed for us. We lose what he did for us. What does this mean? It means we lose the advantage of the miracle of grace. We lose that because Christ died for us. This is grace. And I know it is so hard to wrap our minds around grace, isn't it? Because we know ourselves. Anyone screw up this week? Pat raised his hand. He's very bold, you know? Did anyone think something that was not of Christ? Anyone lash out in anger at something? Did anyone treat their spouse not the way you should treat your spouse? Did anyone, I mean, unpure thoughts? What, I mean, did any of us have that? If we did, which all of us have, then that's why we have a hard time with grace, because we know our sinful self, which is why we call it a miracle of grace, that Christ took that, that Christ has redeemed us, because God's grace is a miracle, and we have a hard time wrapping our minds around his grace when we know who we really are. But see, the Galatians, by choosing circumcision and the law, they are then forsaking this new covenant. They're forsaking that which was purchased by Christ's blood. And Paul is like, stop. Why would you do that? And so we as believers in today, this day and age, we have done this as well through the enemy of the freedom of Christ, which that name is legalism. We've are tempted by that as well. Of turning back, and it's like, okay, what do I need to do to be good enough? Give me a list. How many people like lists? Tell me exactly what to do. Give me 10 things to do to be good enough. We want that, don't we? So I can get up and I can check them off. Read my Bible, yes. Pray through the prayer list, check. That's 2 out of 10. Good. Do not cuss, check. Do not listen to rock and roll, check. I mean, you see what I'm doing? You see, I mean, did anyone grow up in a culture that just preached, they didn't preach the gospel, they just preached a checklist of doing good? That's very hard on the soul, isn't it? Because when you mess one of those up, oh my gosh, now what do I do? Now what do I do? Again, found some good quotes from this guy, Todd Wilson. He says this. Listen to this. We know we've lost sight of what ultimately counts in the Christian life when we begin to lose the joy of living the Christian life. There's no joy in a checklist. Maybe at the beginning when you're doing pretty well, right? Because that leads to, I mean, because then that leads to just pride, right? Look at my checklist. I've filled it out 10 days in a row. It leads to this kind of prideful happiness, which is not real. But there's no joy in living the Christian life when you're living under legalism. And you can know that. You can ask yourself that question this morning. Have you lost sight of what ultimately counts in the Christian life? Have you lost joy in actually just living the Christian life? Because there is joy. Christ came to give his life abundantly, right? Today, eternally. My question is, have you lost the joy of living the Christian life? So my question is this, so what does ultimately and eternally count? So we're asking this question, we're saying, okay, we understand what legalism is, it's lifting things up that are good and putting them on the same level of what's essential or what is ultimate. And then we see that when we do that, we are forfeiting what Christ did for us on the cross, his redeeming work on the cross, the grace, this miracle of grace. And so now Paul is going to say, so okay, let me tell you what really counts. Okay, this is what you're wanting to know this morning. You're saying, okay, well then what counts? Well, let's look at God's word. It's right here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to skip to verse 6, and then we're going to come back to verse 5, okay? But listen to what ultimately accounts. Look at verse 6 in your Bibles. It says this, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love." Look at what Paul said. This is a pretty bold statement. This is a pretty bold statement that Paul gives us here. What truly and eternally counts and what doesn't? Paul says, you know what? It doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not. It doesn't matter. None of that counts. What really counts is faith working through love. Write that down. You say, what counts in my life? It's faith working through love. He is saying, this is a heart thing. This is not a checklist thing. This is a heart thing. This is a motivation thing. If you get circumcised, guess what? It doesn't really matter. If you don't get circumcised, oh, guess what? It doesn't really matter. What matters is faith in Christ. What matters is what that faith in Christ produces in our life. Why does circumcision ultimately not matter? Because circumcision eternally does not matter on judgment day. Okay? You're standing before the Lord. How many rock and roll albums did you listen to? Only 6. And they weren't that bad. How many times did you go to church? Well, I've got my list. How many times you go to youth camp? Eh. How many committees did you serve on? Yeah. How many choir productions were you in? Eh. Did you vote for the blue carpet or the green carpet? Because that's what really matters. You see how goofy that sounds? And yet we do that stuff, don't we? We get into our little worlds and our cultures and like, oh, this is so important. Do you think those things matter on Judgment Day? What matters on Judgment Day? Do you have faith in Christ? That's what matters. And guess what? There will be a day that every one of us stand before the Lord. That's the truth. We're going to stand before the Lord, every single one of us. You can say, I don't believe in Christ. I don't believe in the afterlife. I don't believe in eternity. Guess what? When you die, you're going to find out that it was true. You're going to stand before the Lord. And there's going to be one thing that matters. Faith in Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 10 through 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We're going to stand before the Lord. Circumcision is not going to matter. Uncircumcision is not going to matter. All this stuff, style of worship, if you did enough hymns, you did enough Chris Tomlin, if you did enough of all this stuff, it's not going to matter. He's going to say, do you have faith in Christ? Faith in Christ is what matters. What ultimately counts, is faith in Christ, which is then expresses itself in love for God and for others. I think there's a statement on there, Dad, if you want to put that up there. Write that down. What ultimately counts is faith in Christ, which is then expressed itself in love for God and for others. Faith in Christ, then that gives us a new heart. And we begin to love God, and then it is expressed as we love others. This is a pretty bold statement from Paul. What ultimately counts? Faith in Christ through love. When we stand before the Lord, you know what's not going to matter? What denomination we attended. This might shock you what political party you were in. It's not going to matter. Gasps. Which one of the many great translations of the Bible we read, it's not going to matter. I'm sorry, guys, here's some truth. It's not going to matter whether you're a premillennialist, an amillennialist, if you're pre-trib, if you're mid-trib, if you're post-trib, it's not going to matter. We're going to find out, right? We're going to find out, and then we're going to stand before the Lord, and it's not going to matter. What's going to matter is faith in Jesus, faith in Christ expressed in our love for him and for others. Okay, now, stop for a moment. Look at me. Just makes me know that you're paying attention. Okay. Hear me on this, okay? It's not that we shouldn't care about some of those things. Those are good things. It's good to study the end times. It's good to study God's word. It's right there. We need to study that. We need to grapple through that. It's good to think about what we're hearing and putting into our bodies. And I mean, those are good things. Those are good things. But remember, legalism is treating that which is good as essential. And what happens when we elevate things that are good to being eternally essential, then we fall back into that enslavement of legalism. And it robs us of the joy in living for Christ. It also, you know what else it does to us? You know what your checklist does for you? I'm sorry, but this is what it leads to ultimately. It leads to you looking down on others who didn't quite fulfill the checklist. Right? Right? I mean, let's be honest. We've all been there. We think doing this is really important. When other people don't do that, what do? Well, maybe. I'm going to read a quote from a friend that I heard this week. He wanted to remain anonymous, so here it is. This is what he says. I judge others in my heart for things that I'm not even doing in my own life. How many of us can agree with that? We walk around, we judge people. We might know what might be good. We might know some really good things. And we might not even be doing them, but we know them. And so we start judging others for things we're not even willing to do in our own life. What ultimately counts, what eternally counts, is faith in Christ working through love. Faith in Christ, which is then expressed by our love for God and our love for others. So here's the next thing. You're like, okay, I see that. I'm seeing that. Well, how do we live in the light of this truth? And we're gonna see just down here in the next few verses what a new life in Christ looks like. As we look at the fruits of the spirits and all those things, when we have faith in Christ, you know what he does? He starts changing our hearts. We begin to look more and more like Christ. So how do we live in the light of this truth? Living in the truth of what eternally counts. Verse 5, look at verse 5. We go back up to verse 5. We know what's ultimately important, faith working in love. So how do we live in that truth? Verse 5 says, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Living in the truth of what eternally counts actually brings us more and more freedom. And what ultimately counts is that which Christ has given us. You know what he's given us? He's given us his righteousness. Amen? Does that not blow your mind? Does that not blow your mind that we are considered righteous? And this is what's so hard to understand sometimes is that we, as a believer, if we have faith in Jesus, we have received Christ's righteousness now, but we also eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. Does that kind of seem strange to anyone? We are, if we died today and we stood before the Lord, he would see Christ in us if we're a believer in Jesus. He would see his righteousness. But as we're here, as we're growing, we are still fighting and battling our old self, right? We're still battling our old sin. And so we eagerly await the day when we are with Jesus for eternity and all that old stuff is gone forever, right? That battle. We hope for it, yet we have already attained it. We eagerly await to be with Christ and all of our old self and all of our old sins and that fight that we have with sin is done with. We eagerly wait for that. And see, and this is what happens. This fight that we're in, that's why we call them fight clubs, battling and seeking the Lord. This fight that we're in, what happens is that many of us begin to think that the good things that we're doing somehow make us better and have a better standing before the Lord. And that's just not true, because we already are righteous. We can't do anything more to gain his righteousness. He's already given it to us. And so we fight and battle sin, and so we start adding to our checklist. Well, maybe this will make me better in front of the Lord. Maybe these things will make me better. And it's not true. And so that what happens is that that revert that back to the works-based righteousness, which leads to that enslavement of legalism and no joy. We must never forget that it is only Christ's atoning work on the cross that makes us righteous. Okay? We can't forget that. It is only Christ's atoning work on the cross that makes us righteous. Nothing we have done, which is why the Bible says it is nothing you've done, so you can't boast in yourself, right? So we can't boast. We can't say, look how great I am, look at my salvation because I did all these things. We can't do that. It is only Christ's work that makes us righteous. So how do we live in the truth of what eternally counts? Seek the Lord. Seek him daily. Run. Why does Paul always say chase, run? We can't be lazy. We've got to run. That doesn't mean we can't get up and just like, I got to do all this stuff. No, just seek him. Seek him. Live seeking after him. Chase after him. Remember what ultimately counts. Live by faith. Read his word. Live under his promises. This type of life in Christ is not what we usually think of from legalism, right? Living joy-filled, seeking him, running, living under his promises, that's filled with joy. You see, those living under the enslavement of legalism and checklists and equating things as what's ultimate, there is no joy. There is no hope. There is no rest. You guys want rest? There's no rest constantly striving to be good enough. There's no rest in that. Rather than resting in the sufficiency of Christ Jesus. You see the difference there? There's no rest in striving to be good enough. There is rest in resting in the sufficiency of what Christ has done for us on the cross. There's grace. And my question is this: where are you? Where are we? Do you truly know the freedom of Christ? Are you living for what eternally counts? Are you living in the truth that what ultimately matters, what ultimate faith in Jesus Christ expressed in our love for God and for others? Faith working through love. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Let's pray. God, we are so thankful for your redeeming work on the cross, your work, your one-time sacrifice, once and for all, is sufficient. Thank you for that grace, for the miracle of grace. Lord, I know that many of us battle with legalism. We've been brought up in a culture of that for many of us, Lord. Help us to understand what ultimately counts, and that is faith in Christ, faith working through love. Help us to run after you, seek after you, show us areas in our life that we need to continually to give over to you, but help us to find the joy of living for you, not the turmoil of trying to be good enough, but resting in the sufficiency of Christ. Thank you for your word. Thank you for that encouragement and that truth of what true joy is and what really matters. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray.